Yes, yes, and amen. Thank you. Yes, yes. And now I have the honor and privilege of introducing Katie McDonald, our youth director, who's going to give us a report on our youth event last weekend. And by the way, worship doesn't stop because we stop singing. This is all part of worship. Everything we do. And this is an opportunity to worship and say thank you to Jesus for what he did last weekend, right?
Thanks. So Breakout, for those of you who don't know, is like our big youth group event of the season or year. So it's an all-nighter. Kiddos start showing up at 6, and then we kick them out at 8 a.m. because by that time we're tired. So this year we did some things a little bit different. We went axe throwing, which was incredible. And for selfish reasons, I was really excited because we got to incorporate Justin into Breakout. This was his first Breakout. Wes and Jill both showed up for our kids. We had 14 kids come this year, which was really fun just to, you know, spend the night with all of those kiddos. Then after we went axe throwing, we went bowling because apparently I only like sports or activities that use one arm. I didn't do that on purpose, but it was a really good time. One of our kiddos ended up winning a giant Pickle Rick from the arcade there. Thoroughly unexpected. And then we flicked past a picture, but we had a phenomenal breakfast crew come and meet us in the morning. And I am thoroughly grateful for all of those people who made sure that we all left fed. We may have been sleep deprived, but at least we ate. So it was a thoroughly successful Breakout, I would say. We all had fun. We all stayed up late playing video games and eating far too much sugar. But that's pretty much it.
You may be seated. You don't have to wait up here for me. Katie and that youth group, that team, are amazing. Because I got to be there for the first half of the night. I'm a night owl, so I was up till 12:30 with them. And I tell you, like Sam and Maria, Justin, who helped out with the axe throwing, of course, Caleb, and help me, Alex was there. He's back there behind the computer. He's always serving. These guys are amazing. Like, I just watched them fully being themselves, loving our students well, and they love them very well. So would you give it up for our youth team? And those guys came up through our youth ministry, and now they're leading the youth ministry. It's amazing, right? We really value teaching our kids how to follow and love Jesus, and then watching them lead other people in loving Jesus, which segues perfectly into my next little PSA. We need teachers to teach our little ones so that when they finish grade school, they get excited about middle school and the youth program and the high school program. And we keep having this beautiful discipleship of our young people moving into leadership. And it starts with like Miles up here doing announcements, right? Giving kids an opportunity to stand up in front of a crowd and hold forth with some direction, but giving them the confidence they need to step out into this world to speak the love and life and hope of Jesus. Amen? So if that tugs at your heartstrings a little bit, if the Holy Spirit's saying to you, hey, I might have an assignment for you with some little ones who need to know about the love of Jesus, go see Jasmine, our children's director. Come talk to me. I can introduce you to her. Yes, Joe. If you can't go every week, that's fine. We could use substitutes because people get sick, right? We need somebody to fill in for teachers who get sick. We need people who can do it every once in a while. We need long haulers too. We need people who are willing to do, hey, I could take a month out of the year. So on and so forth. With that said, want to introduce to you my good friend and a good friend of Celebration Community Church from the very beginning, before it is even a church, Pastor Mike Sayers.
Hello, Gandalf the Grey is coming.
The courtesy of your hall is somewhat lessened of late, Theoden King.
He's not welcome.
Why should I welcome you, Gandalf Stormcrow?
A just question, my liege. Late is the hour in which this conjurer chooses to appear. Last spell I name it. Ill news is an ill guest.
Be silent. Keep your forked tongue behind your teeth. I have not passed so far in death to bandy crooked words with a witless worm.
Stop. I told you to take the wizard. Stop.
Theoden, son of Thangor.
Too long have you sat in the shadows.
I would stay still if I were you.
Hearken to me. I release you from the spell.
You have no power here, Gandalf the Grey.
I will draw you, Saruman, as poison is drawn from our wound.
If I go, Theoden dies.
You did not kill me. You will not kill him.
Rohan, hide. Be gone. Breathe the free air again, my friend.
Don't you just love that scene?
Amen.
I know. And Eowyn's in it, and Eowyn is the name of my granddaughter. Because my daughter and son-in-law wanted a girl's name that was the kick day. I'll just leave that there for now. So it's a little bit spooky. I know, I'm sorry. But don't worry, you know, that kind of thing doesn't really happen in real life. Or does it? We're going to turn to a passage where the Holy Spirit is present all over. and it's going to be Acts chapter 13. It should be on the screen behind me. And this is a sermon I'm calling The Holy Spirit in You, because hopefully it will be highly applicable to every one of us. So let's take a look. So just so you know, there's a little map, if you can read it. The Apostle Paul and Barnabas will start off over on the right of the map in Antioch. And we're going to follow them as they go to Cyprus. And Cyprus is an island right there in the Mediterranean. And so they're going to land on the eastern side of the island, and then they're going to travel across the island west to get to Paphos. And Paphos is where the story mainly takes place. But that's just there so you know what's going on. But let's start while they're still in Antioch. Verse 1. In the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. The two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. John was with them as their helper. That's John Mark. They traveled through the whole island until they came to Paphos. There they met a Jewish sorcerer and false prophet named Bar-Jesus. Now, Bar-Jesus is a Hebrew term, and it means son of salvation. So they met a Jewish sorcerer and false prophet who was an attendant of the proconsul Sergius Paulus. The proconsul, intelligent man, sent for Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for that is what his name means, opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul from the faith. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas and said, "You are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? Now the hand of the Lord is against you. You are going to be blind, and for a time you will be unable to see the light of the sun." Immediately, mist and darkness came over him, and he groped about, seeking someone to lead him by the hand. When the proconsul saw what had happened, he believed, for he was amazed at the teaching of the Lord. Interesting that the Apostle Paul declares the same fate for Elymas that had happened to him on the road to Damascus, is it not? And it was pretty effective in getting Saul to turn around and follow Jesus. I'm sure that Paul's hope was that Elymas would turn around and follow Jesus as well. So I want to go back to just think about this. When they were in the church at Antioch and they were worshiping the Lord, they had a bunch of prophets there. They listed them by name, right? And they were worshiping the Lord, literally serving the Lord. That's what we do when we worship. We actually serve the Lord in a capacity. We serve him praise. We serve him up gratitude, thanksgiving. Our hearts, we surrender to him, right, in worship. And when you do this, when you're focused on the Lord and you're giving these kinds of things, serving him, worshiping him, then it puts you in a frame of mind to hear what the Holy Spirit says. And so probably one of these guys, one of the prophets, had the word from the Lord, "Set apart for me Paul and Barnabas for the work I have them to do. Now, nobody at that point knew what it was, but it came from their worship. And they have a ceremony of laying on of hands, and they send those guys off. Now, this is one of the ways that the Holy Spirit can speak to us, is in the middle of worship. Maybe you've experienced it, if you've been a Christian very long, that while you're in church, while you're worshiping, while you're praying, while you're thanking God, while you're offering up the things in your life that need to be offered to God, a little thought passes through your mind that has all the earmarks of being from God. Or you hear a little whisper in the back of your head, and you're going, I don't think that's me. Maybe that's the Lord. Sometimes the Holy Spirit speaks to us just in a whisper. I remember years before I stepped down as pastor of Scum of the Earth, I had this thought that passed through my head. And it was like, you know, Mike, Scum doesn't need a 65-year-old senior pastor. And I thought to myself, that is the dumbest thought I've ever had. Like, young people need old people. That's the basis of everything I've ever done in ministry. And so I ignored it. And then it came back, and I ignored it again. And then it came back kind of with spurs on the end and stuck in my brain. I'm going, wait a minute. If I would never think this, could it possibly be the Lord telling me it's time to step down? I didn't hear a voice. I didn't have a lightning strike. But that's how the Holy Spirit spoke. Just in a moment of prayer when I was kind of quiet and meditative. And the Holy Spirit can speak to all of us. Right this morning, I've prayed that perhaps some of you would hear from the Holy Spirit this morning as you were in the middle of worship. You know, maybe there's a face that pops in your head. It's somebody you need to forgive. Maybe it's someone in your family for whom you need to do something. You never know what the Holy Spirit's going to say or do. But it happens in the context very often of worshiping Him. And we can worship as Wes so aptly pointed out, you can worship encompasses a lot of things. You could be worshiping as you're reading the Bible, right? All right. So, they go across the island to Paphos, and there, after they're preaching for a while, the proconsul hears about these guys preaching and asks for them to come. And while they're there, they realize he's got a sorcerer as his advisor. This is not uncommon in the ancient world. The Emperor Nero, the Roman Emperor Nero, actually had advisors, magicians, sorcerers, who predicted his rule of the East, including sovereignty over Jerusalem. And so Sergius Paulus, the proconsul on Cyprus, had his own astrologer. Even today, I don't know if you know this or not, but there have been world leaders who have consulted astrologers and magicians for just such a purpose, to try and tell the future. It's a little scary, but it happens. So this story really isn't out of the realm of reality. And I don't think that J.R.R. Tolkien made the whole thing up. He was a Christian. He loved the scriptures. He read the scriptures. And I'll bet you some of this came, that scene we saw, came from this chapter in Acts 13. Wouldn't it surprise me at all? What happens when the power of the gospel confronts the power of the occult? Exactly. What happened in this passage? It's no contest, seriously. But the Okay, so where are we on slides here? Let's go to the first slide after this. Right. So number one, you can worship, like I've just been explaining. How can you respond to the Holy Spirit? You can worship. The Holy Spirit can communicate with you. All right? And there's the verse, verse 2. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work that I've called them. All right. Number 2. Another way we can respond to the Holy Spirit is you can be sent. This is Paul and Barnabas. The two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and then sailed from there to Cyprus. Like, how did they know where to go? I don't know. The Holy Spirit spoke to them and said, go down here. Maybe it just seemed right to them. I think we should go to Cyprus. It's close. It's a peaceful colony. Let's just go there. Maybe the Holy Spirit appeared to them in a dream. Maybe they just got a little thought, a little whisper. Maybe that. We don't know. But we know very often the Holy Spirit sends people, right? And sometimes we can be criticized for following the Holy Spirit. Like, you shouldn't talk to that homeless person. Stay away from that homeless person. But you feel the Holy Spirit wants you to go there and just offer a word of encouragement. Maybe not even not any money, right? It's dangerous. Homeless people can be dangerous. Well, sometimes they can be. But sometimes the Holy Spirit wants to put you where he wants you to go. I mean, I know that there were people who thought Mary and I were crazy starting Scum of the Earth Church. I mean, we were both in our 40s. We had kids going to college. I mean, how are a bunch of 20-year-olds going to pay for our health insurance, let alone anything else that we needed to live? You know, it looked crazy. But the Holy Spirit provided. God provided. I remember when Steve and Bonnie opened their home to the first celebration meeting, he said, there were just a couple people there. We had, you know, our kids were little, and then I think we had the stuffed animals on the couch as the congregation in case nobody else showed up. Sometimes the Holy Spirit leads you into risky places, and this obviously became a risky place. The story goes, on one occasion, Dwight L. Moody, the evangelist, was criticized for his mass evangelism methods. And he replied to his critic, he said, listen, I don't like them either. What methods do you use? When the critic indicated he didn't use any evangelistic tools or activities, Moody said, well, I like the way I do it better than the way you don't. And I think that's true. When the Holy Spirit sends you, you're doing something. And you can be sent. So listen. Number 3, you can be drawn. The Holy Spirit was drawing the proconsul to himself, right? He was an intelligent man. He goes, I want to hear about this Jesus character. And so he sent for Paul and Barnabas. Well, he wouldn't have sent for Paul and Barnabas unless the Holy Spirit was drawing him. I remember being drawn by the Holy Spirit when I was in high school. You should check out Jesus. Don't throw him away until you tuck him out. You've been told about him as a kid. You don't buy it. But you better not go off and do all these things you want to do, Mike, before you find out really if there's a God or not. Because if you do the things that you want to do and there's a God, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. So I went to a Bible study. I was the kid in the back making all the snide comments. Why was I there? Because the Holy Spirit was drawing me. And it was through that Bible study later on, after I graduated, where the Holy Spirit did a smackdown on my soul. I mean, it was a supernatural experience. And I left that Bible study changed forever. The Holy Spirit draws us to where he wants us to go. And not only that, but whom he wants us to be. I remember this one kid. He would play Five Iron Frenzy in his car on his CD player, and he would start crying every time he heard Five Iron Frenzy. And he couldn't figure out what was going on. And so we came to church, because Scum was Five Iron's church, to figure out why he was crying. And he met the Lord there. You see, the Holy Spirit was drawing him through the radio in his car. Isn't that crazy? So where are you this morning? I mean, is the Holy Spirit drawing you to do anything, to be anything different than what you are right now? And the fourth way you can respond to the Holy Spirit is you can oppose the Holy Spirit, which is what Elymas the sorcerer was doing, just like Wormtongue in that video, right? Now, let me say this out of compassion for people like that. You wonder what the background of Elymas was. Why would he ever have given himself over to the dark powers? Why would he have done that? My guess, frankly, after having been a pastor for all these years, that he had been spiritually wounded at some point in his past. And that evil got in through the cut in his soul. Just like an infection gets into your body through a cut on your skin, I think, this is my opinion, this is not scripture, although I think it jives with scripture. I think evil can come into our souls, into our hearts, when we have been wounded emotionally, spiritually. The people I know who have been delivered from demonic activity, whether it's demonic oppression on their lives or whether it's demonic possession, have had some pretty rough things happen to them in their past. I mean, you see, but when you give yourself over to the dark side, you're going to come face to face with the power and the love of God. And it's not going to go well with you right off the bat out of God's severe mercy in your life. He's got to confront you head on. He's got to confront that lie that you've been believing head on. There was Sam Smith's performance at the Grammy Awards, where he dressed up like the devil. Not a very good representation of the devil, in my humble opinion. If I were the devil, I would have been a bit upset. First of all, he doesn't wear a top hat like that. I don't know, it doesn't matter. But you're going like, what happened to Sam Smith to make him think that was cool? Really, I feel for the guy. He's had to have been wounded in his life. He probably doesn't even think the devil's real, which is one of the tactics the devil uses, right? One is to make you think he doesn't really exist, and the other one is to have you so obsessed with him, you can't think about anything else. Those are his two favorite tactics. But if you know somebody who's opposing the Holy Spirit right now, they make fun of you for being a Christian. They always argue with you. They boast about being an atheist, how smart they are, how stupid you are for being a Christian. Like, what's your response to that person? Do you pray for them? Do you call on the power of the Holy Spirit to come and confront them? At least do that much. And if God calls you to do something like this, then I guess you got to do it. I mean, I don't go looking for encounters like this, but I can assure you with Scum of the Earth, there were several. Remember one guy we prayed for? I mean, he would actually see demonic figures standing in his way and trying to frighten him about coming up the stairs into the church building to go to church. Is that spooky or what? You want to talk about a prayer session that kind of makes your hair stand on end? That one was one for the books. There was another woman who came to us, and her grandparents had been missionaries down, actually with Nate Saint and Jim, what's his name? Jim Elliott. Yeah, and every, I don't know what happened to her, but every March, whatever, some date in March, something terrible would happen to her. And she was convinced it was some kind of demonic activity, some kind of oppression, and we prayed and it stopped. You see, God sometimes calls you to do what Paul and Barnabas did for Elymas. All right. The job of the Spirit is to point people to Jesus. Whether by whispering to us when we're go back to number one and two, if you would. By worshiping, whether sending us where he wants us to go, whether drawing us to him if we're a little reluctant, or even confronting us and opposing us if we're obstinate. So I want to give you a chance to think about those times in your life, and Wes is going to come up here and he's going to lead us in a take one.
So we want to give you a chance to speak to us. If you've never been here before when we've done this, we call ourselves sometimes the Church of the Open Mic. It's sort of the AA model of church, where we get to hear from you. Not just from those here on this stage, because we really believe that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. That's what the book of Revelation says. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, because there's power in telling the stories of God's faithfulness and mercy and love and power in our lives to encourage each other to proclaim the good news. And so, I want to give you a chance. Where have you experienced the Holy Spirit in worship? Where have you experienced him in worship? Has he spoken to you in that still small voice, or has he been a blaring megaphone at times? Where has he sent you? Where has he called you to people? What was your experience when you said yes to that? Where might he be drawing you right now? Where might he have confronted you when he knew, my child, you're going down the wrong path. It's not for your life. I'm calling you back to the heart of the Father because you're wandering far from me. Four options. Or you combine a couple, but here are the rules. Does everybody remember? Be brief, brother or sister, be brief. I mean, I could be here all day until like four, because then I got to get to a Super Bowl party. It's a joke. No, really, we want to hear from you. So please, maybe the Holy Spirit is pulling you up here right now. I'd also like to say, if you are a regular at the open mic, leave some space. Don't feel like you've got to rescue us. Let people maybe who haven't spoken in a while come forward. So you walk up, take the microphone, tell us your name, and then tell us your story.
Well, probably a lot of you don't know who I am. I've only been here, I guess, three times. And I've really enjoyed this church. I think I've never seen a church with so many friendly people. Anyway, I'll make this short. Oh, what is my name? My name is Jim Lanyon. Hi. This will be short. This is an encouragement. I've felt a need for encouragement in the last couple of years. Well, a couple of months. Anyway, I spent a week in Jamaica a number of years ago. I was working for a company, and they sent me to a hotel. The company was kind of cheap, so it wasn't the best hotel in Jamaica. And I don't know if you know much about Jamaica, but it's incredibly poor. Incredibly poor, incredibly violent. But so I was in the taxi. They were taking us to this hotel, got into the courtyard, got out. There was a guy waiting to take my luggage. Well, he was standing there by the door reading the Bible. So here's this huge black man, huge. And he's sitting there reading the Bible. And then, oh, I can take your luggage. Then next door, I went to the curio shop. And on the counter, because the clerk was busy, was an open Bible. So in a violent kind of country, it seems like Christianity kind of flourishes. Anyway, it was an encouragement to me.
It's important to know that you don't have to have some big thing. The big thing is Jesus, right? Yeah, Mary.
I'm Mary.
Hi, Mary.
Hi. This is going to be really quick. And this is from mostly for the parents out there that are raising the kids. We've got four. They're adults. I mean, 32 to 42. We've got four kids. And so through the years, of course, I grunt. And I go, oh, Lord, if only, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Oh, that one's maneuvering this way. This one's maneuvering that way. In ways, you know, you don't. You would hope for better. So I'm doing my little fret bit in the kitchen, and I do hear it. I hear a voice. Not out of it, I don't know. But it's very simple, which is the way he speaks to me. I've got your kids. And this thing, I could just feel it. And that doesn't mean I don't. It's not perfect. But I did hear him. He's so good to have made it that clear, simple, and true.
Amen. I think we had church, and Tyler's going to share. You're our last one, Tyler. Thank you.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention on the being drawn by Christ, and it's in my mind, I'm thinking about Pastor Jill preaching on meeting God in the momentous and the mundane, and like this is like somewhere in between. So I was at the men's breakfast, thank you. Celebration bowl yesterday was just fun and all that. And so on Saturdays, I usually go for my long run afterwards, and I wanted to probably do that, but I haven't been feeling the best the past week. And so I also wanted to finally go see Thomas Jefferson High School play basketball because Joe's son and Ben's brother, Billy, coaches them. And I have a coworker whose son's on the team anyway. But anyway, it was like, should I run, not run? And it was like, no, just go to the game, you know? And then it's not like, hey, go save this person, go to the church, whatever. But it was just like, I texted Joe later. I'm like, it just felt like a God thing, you know? So anyway, we're at the game, and it's so good to see Joe and Gretchen and see Billy coaching, and it's just exciting. And then we look across the way, and Caleb and Amy Notwer, there. Amy's dad is the assistant coach on that team. Amy's mom is sitting in the top row, so we go and see them at halftime. And then Amy's sister showed up in the fourth quarter because you know Kate's late, of course, right? And then it's just awesome. And then as we're visiting with Billy afterwards, I look on the front row and this lady like recognized me and like, oh, Eddie. And so I worked at Neighborhood Ministries years and years ago, and she was like a little kid in our program, and she's a mom now and all that. And then the kids selling Girl Scout cookies are kids from our school, and the mom of the kid is like Jamie's best friend, and you know, and so just like, it was like just this warm, like, I'm with you, you know, like, don't sweat that you didn't do your own, you know, like, or just, you know, it's just like life. And it just, I thought, oh, it'd be encouraging to Joe if I show up, but like, God's like, dude, it's encouraging for you, or it's just, it's life, just, you know. So anyway.
Would you stand? You know, I don't know what the Lord's doing, but he does. He does, right? All I know is I want more of this. I want more stories of God's faithfulness. I want more stories of the Holy Spirit doing powerful things in people's lives. I want more people feeling welcome and safe in a place where they can talk about what's going on really deep down inside. I want more people looking for the hope of the gospel at this church, because I need it. How about you? I'm going to pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you for the gift of this morning to be together, to worship, to hear your words spoken, to tell stories, to pray for each other, to encourage one another. We confess we need you. We need you. Every hour we need you. Holy Spirit, we need you to work in our lives. Draw us to the heart of the Father. Lord, fan the flame into fire in our hearts to desire Jesus, to follow him, to listen to your voice and to do what you say. Give us courage. Lord, provide for those who need provision, that they would see your goodness in the land of the living. Provide for people who not only need financial provision, but Lord, who need resources, who need resources to help them. And Lord, bring people to this little community who need you, because that's us. May we be found faithful, Lord, in showing love and compassion to everyone we cross paths with, to everyone who enters the doors of this building, who steps onto this property, no matter where they're from, no matter what their background, Lord, because we know if we scratch just beneath the surface, we will encounter significant pain in any human life. So, Lord, help us to recognize your kindness and generosity towards us and extend it to everyone around us. As we leave this place, Lord, may we take your hand and follow you and take the hand of a friend and in love of Jesus, go and celebrate. Amen. Go in peace.